Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Horse Hour podcast. I'm Amy Frost, and we're at the National Equine Forum today. It's where 250 of the top industry experts get together every year and talk about the future of the industry. I'm joined by Sam Watson, who's the founder of EquiRatings, and I'm fascinated to delve into the world of data. Sam, can you start by telling us, what is EquiRatings?
EquiRatings is a data science company. It basically brings data analysis into a sport like eventing. That's where we started. We're now working in all equestrian sports. Data analysis can sound, people can zone out, but when you're watching Wimbledon and you see the percentage of first serves won by Andy Murray versus Roger Federer, or percentage of break points won, you know, we've had this, anyone who's seen Moneyball, which is an American book or film about baseball and how they tried to buy players not off their eye, which is something we're very used to in the equestrian world, using our intuition, using our eye. These guys actually just started to use data, started to use the facts that the players were producing, analyzing their performance in that way. It's a huge revolution that is going on. You know, that is how Team Sky and British Cycling have had all of their success. They measure everything they do, from the amount of hours sleep they get to obviously the speed they're going on a bike and how many calories they're burning and all that sort of stuff. So it's something that I naturally gravitated towards because of my background with numbers in university and the statistical analysis there. And it's something that I noticed was missing in equestrian sports. Brilliant for intuition, brilliant for expertise, but lacking. And I think on a number of fronts. So EquiRatings at the moment is really operating in three spheres. One is high performance, so how to win gold medals and, you know, to get a competitive advantage. So we look at different squads. Are they focusing too much time on one phase? We talk to a lot of managers and we say, right, how much resources and how much time do you dedicate to each phase? And we analyze their performance and it's not stacking up. They're actually putting all of their time and energy into potentially, say, the dressage phase, whereas they're losing huge ground on their competitors in the cross-country phase. And by rebalancing their time and efforts, they could improve their performance quite a lot. So that's where we work in high performance. The media is one that we like to work in as well, because you've got to quantify success. I think that is how the modern sports fan likes to engage with their sport. They want to know. I mentioned Wimbledon in football. It's, you know, they talk about yards covered per game, pass completions, shots on target. That's how we want people to talk about horses now. Michael Young has got this streak going. He's got 75 consecutive clear cross-country rounds at three-star level. He hasn't had a cross-country fault in 7 years at that three-star level. And that's just something to put it into context, that no other riders managed to get above 30. So for him to put 75, you know, consecutive streaks together is amazing. And just to quantify that, when he won badminton with Sam, it was the record finishing score, it was the lowest finishing score they'd had at badminton. And EquiRatings were the ones breaking that story, because we delve into the database and do all the checks. And we think that way. I think data analysis is a lot about the people who drive it as well. So to have the intuition is important too. And the reason that we are here at this forum is the risk management. And it's not where why EquiRatings started. EquiRatings started a lot more because of the high performance element. But when we could see that as much as we were starting to build algorithms and formulas that would predict the chances of a Michael Young or William Fox Pitt or an Andrew Nicholson winning a competition. We could see at the other end that a lot of the people who were having problems and indeed falls were coming in with poor data footprints, poor past performance. So then we turned our attention to say, could we actually predict risk? Could we put in it? Could rather than saying that, big fences are dangerous in eventing and high speeds are dangerous in other sports, could we actually assign risk on a personal level? Could we say, look, this horse is actually at higher risk at this level than another horse? And that's what we've been doing.
It's incredible. I'm like literally mesmerized because I'm a bit of a data geek, and I love facts and figures. And I'm fascinated to know, well, how it can be made, how it can help the industry to be safer, and how at every level we can monitor our performance based on, the jumps and the speed, but also how you can determine the difference between a horse, and I'm hoping you can explain this. A horse that can ride at that level, but just because the horse can ride at a particular level doesn't mean to say the rider can. So how do you distinguish the difference on the ratings between the horse and the rider?
Yeah, that's a good question. From a practical point of view, I think you have to, there's qualifications that are required, and that's very much a quantity thing. So most organizations will already have a qualification ladder in place, and we do a lot of analysis around that, saying, should riders have more experience before they get to 4-star in eventing or 160 in show jumping or jump around the Grand National in national hunt racing. We do analysis around that, but we do focus our ratings an awful lot on the horse for the simple reason that professional athletes push boundaries all the time in terms of risk. They can take chances as much as anyone else. So one of the problems that we got into when we started attaching ratings to riders is that some of the professional riders were not being kind of caught quick enough because they were, they have. I mean, Andrew Nicholson would actually be a good example in that with Nereo and Avebury, two of his more recent superstars, two fantastic cross country horses. But he had a life changing fall, and it was his fourth fall off that horse in 15 months, which for him is not normal. And so actually just focusing on the individual data footprint of the horse was the right thing to do. The flip side of the coin is you would expect most of the time that a professional rider would improve a horse if they were to take it off an amateur maybe, so that you could say, right, well, here's a horse who's been having problems at the lower levels, let's put a professional on it, and the ratings should all go up. And it is just dangerous to make the assumption that that will happen. And so if you just leave the rating attached to the horse, that once that professional rider has ridden the horse 2 or 3 times, his ratings will be going up, hopefully because they've been going clear. But if it's the exception whereby actually that horse's confidence has really gone from risk point of view, the skill of the professional rider can be a dangerous thing in that they can put a horse who's lacking confidence, they can sort of make the horse jump the fence, and what might have been a 20 penalties with an amateur rider turns into a fall with a professional because the horse is unsure, uncertain. So all of our research so far has been pointing us towards building ratings to attach to the horse. I think in when we move into endurance and we move into racing, we are focusing a lot on the trainers because they have a lot of influence over the horse and his preparation as well. And I think to one of the things that we're sort of hinting on now is a big part of what Equa Ratings does with risk is that we are talking about high performance risk. So this is the difference between if we talk about risk with road safety, we know that speed is a big risk factor. So we have speed limits. When you or I drive down the roads, we have to adhere to speed limits. But for Lewis Hamilton, when he's doing a Formula One, he doesn't have speed limits because that will hinder the sport progressing. That will hinder Formula One progressing. So we have to look at, for the Formula One safety is very different to the road user safety for you or I, and that's where Equa Ratings is trying to come in. Otherwise, we'll get to a stage whereby in eventing, we're not jumping very big fences anymore because any analysis will tell you that bigger fences mean higher risk. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to say, right, how do we manage risk for Olympic riders who want to keep pushing the boundaries of high performance, but to keep it safe as well? So it's a much more complex, it's not an easy solution, it's a complex solution.
Yeah, and it's going to take time because it takes years to build up that analysis. And while a horse is going through those changes and they're gaining more experience, then I guess you need to collect that data as well. But I'm interested to know your focus at the moment is the Olympics and the top end. Will you eventually filter that down to my level riding, which is lower level? Because for me, it would be great. I'd love to have a horse that I know that they're safe. I know that I could take them. Okay, I can't take them 2-star, but let's say I could take them 2-star, and I know that they're going to comfortably make that. So if I'm a mum, maybe, that's got a 16-year-old that's, progressed through the ranks and she or he's doing really well, and I want to buy a new horse, I think safety-wise for us, we're so much more informed if we can have the luxury of having your equi ratings with us as well.
Yeah, it's nice to hear that point of view, because that's a huge part of what it's about as well. It's about raising awareness and looking at this objectively as well. I think analyzing our performance objectively. I think every single person who competes, whether they are open about it or not, is secretly quite competitive. And I'm quite laid back about how competitive I am. My wife is I can tell when she's disappointed because she hasn't won her event, or she's had a problem. And all of that, the an athlete is actually subconsciously programmed to focus on the positives, not to focus on the negatives. That means that you hear phrases like an unlucky 20 or a silly mistake and all this sort of stuff. And that is quite important for us to get back and be positive, and it's important for the horses that we're positive and we're not negative all the time. So actually to have a governance system that can step in a little bit and say your silly mistakes and your unlucky 20s are actually pointing you in a direction whereby you're just from a higher level looking at this, you're carrying more risk than you perhaps should be for this level. And that there's an independent and objective system to step in and maybe say, okay, my plan was to step up to novice now or to step up to 1-star. But because I can see on the ratings that if I were to do that at this point, I'd actually be in a slightly higher risk category than I'm probably happier with. I might just do that. I might just have an extra run at this level. Or, it might just promote people to go. Actually, I might go and have, there's a Chris Bartle cross country clinic, or there's a Yogi Breisner cross country clinic, whatever. We're just trying to promote a little bit of extra awareness, extra thought, perhaps some smarter decision making about when to upgrade.
And
And
it
that's all it is.
takes off some of the pressure, in a real selfish way. I'm seeing a lot of people that are pushing their horses through the ranks really, really quickly, and they're measuring their success on how quickly they can go from novice to 1-star to 2-star, and they've done it in a year, and well done. And I think, well, yes, that could be really great, and I really hope that your horse isn't being put under too much pressure for that. But ultimately, with the rating system, you can actively say it takes a little bit of pressure off the riders, especially if they've got pressures from owners that are trying to get them to win at badminton really quickly, to say, well, actually, let's dealt we've got facts and figures here. Let's look at their performance. Let's look at how they're doing and their ratings. And it kind of takes a little bit of pressure off to say, no, that pony, that horse isn't ready yet. You can see from his last results he's not ready, and it gives them substance, something tangible to actually show to the owners and say, to back up what they're already saying. Equally, if there's somebody that's pushing their horses through far too quickly, it's going to help the welfare of the horse because now they can't do that.
And with I've this actually it's been great that with the system has been implemented in Ireland for 2 seasons now, because it's given a lot of real feedback to us. We've had people who actually, that the horse started having problems, had already been established at a certain level, and the form started to drop off, and eventually the rating kicked in and said that they had to go down a level, which was at the time a big inconvenience and not. Sort of slightly offensive, saying, oh, this is a 2-star horse, why do I have to step down to 1-star? And then it transpired that the horse was actually had a veterinary issue, that came to light, you know, quite soon after. And their feedback when that came to light was, you know, thank God that we would have kept going at Two Star through the problems, the smaller problems that were happening. But, you know, even talking to the vet could tell us that if we kept going, this could have resulted in a fall because it was a brave horse, but he was starting to have physical issues that was starting to inhibit the performance. And that's not essentially what we didn't set out to design a system that would, you know, predict, a horse having physical problems. But that's what data analysis does. It's objective, it's purely assessing performance, and whatever the reasons are, whether it's a lot of horses will step up to a level quite confidently for the first time, and that confidence can unravel. Same as with any human athlete in any sport. You know, we see it in the Premier League in football or any sport that riders or athletes go through. The confidence can have consequences in eventing, particularly the high level. It can have consequences in racing, adds to the risk. So to have an objective system. And I would say when I first built a lot of these algorithms and even from a high performance point of view, I'd get some feedback on some of my horses. I'd look at where some of my ratings were saying, and you know, perhaps there was one time I was going to an event, I was going to a 3-star with a horse, and I said, okay, what does the system think? What dressage score does it think I'm going to do? And it was a 51.1 or something. And I was like, God, that can't be right, because I think I'm going to do a 45. When I look back at my results, I could absolutely see why it was a 51 is what was coming up. But in my head, I was, just because of what I'd been doing in training and things like that, I was in a different place. Now, it is not going to solve every problem. There are things going on behind the scenes. There are things going on in training that are going to affect that. It is not, we are not saying by any means that if our predictive analysis, whether it's high performance, whether it's risk, if it says something, we're not saying that's what's going to happen. It's just an indicator. But we have to measure and manage risk somehow. And if we take aviation, or we take road safety, or we take the medical industries, when we're talking about high consequences to risk, which is what we have in equestrian sports, both from a horse point of view and a rider point of view.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
If you have 12 points on your driver's license, you know, maybe you are a very, very safe driver, but we have to go with the analysis. As a governing body, we'll have to go with the analysis that says, hang on, you're displaying too much risk here. You know, we have to take an action to assess this. And it is the same with horse sport. It may be that there are very good reasons to why you've been experiencing problems, and why your past data footprint, your past performance is indicating higher levels of risk. Maybe that's not the case, but we have to govern this from quite a high level. And I think particularly certain areas of eventing, certain areas of endurance, certain areas of national hunt racing, they've all got to improve that risk management in certain areas, particularly at the top level, particularly as the sports are on a global stage, being broadcasted on national television stations, and we have to portray good scenes. You know, we can't be, you know, so that's a factor as well. So,
and you're doing it in a really positive way. You're not saying, okay, you're not good enough, you can't go up the ranks because you're not good enough. It's not. It's the I think the way that you're doing it is brilliant, because actually it's all for the good of the sport, which is a lovely way to look at it. So, Sam, tell me, how did this, when you first started, you know, putting your algorithms together, and you're sat in your back room working on these numbers, and your wife is saying, come on, Sam, I need you to do the washing up, what are you doing now? From doing that to, you know, what has been 2 years that it's been in Ireland, you mentioned, how have you seen a change in and the improvement of your own eventing?
Me personally, as Sam Watson, the competitor, I would say, accountability to my performance and an objective, and looking at my performance objectively. So I already gave you that example of when I first disagreed with my own algorithm. And I say my own, unfortunately they're not my own anymore. We have a great team. Everybody knows Dermot Byrne at this point, who's my business partner, but we have a very good tech team behind us as well. And so we've got a lot of people and a lot of experts contributing towards these algorithms now. So there's a big equity ratings team. So when I started to disagree with what the data was telling me, it taught me to say, hang on, Sam, this isn't a personal. This isn't Connor in IT at equity ratings saying, Sam, you're not as good as dressage as you think. This is about objectivity. It's not like the handicapping in racing where there actually is a human opinion purely based on facts. And as you say, that actually brought in a huge breath of fresh air, really, because it took out a kind of a cloudiness to performance assessment. I mean, maybe it's just me as a person, but I like it to be black and white. I like to look back across the last 7 years of my performance as an international event rider and see where I have been making progress and where I haven't been making progress, and what areas are going to get me closer to Michael Young, you know, as quickly as possible. Mm. You know, these last couple of years have been extremely busy for me because of starting equity ratings, and I've been riding horses a lot less than I used to. I have far less time to dedicate towards horses, but I think I've just reached my highest world ranking. I'm ranked number 40 in the world.
Oh, that's amazing.
Or inside the top. So that in itself is a lesson in doing it efficiently. I'm riding for far fewer hours, and I am performing better. So I think that's it.
It's the old cliche, isn't it? Work smarter, not harder.
100%. 100%.
Well, Sam, I'm so pleased for you. You've got the great support of some huge governing bodies now. Can you quickly share those with us?
We've been working in, I think, from a high level point of view, we are doing sort of research work in racing and endurance. We've implemented systems in eventing, and then working with in eventing. Actually, we've had press releases that we are working in Australia, the United States, Great Britain. So that really is on a global stage, and I think a lot of people in equestrian sports all across the world have just been quite intrigued as to our approach. And I think what appeals is that every equestrian sport has its version of Formula One, that we can manage risk with a blanket approach. But let's not be careful that we end up changing the nature of the sport because we're trying to paint everybody with the same brush. Managing the very top 2% of performers in any sport, whether that is racing or whether that is show jumping or whether that is eventing or endurance, different rules may apply a little bit because you've got to allow people to perform to the highest level. So therefore, that's where we go to more sophisticated systems like ratings and stuff like that. But as you say, the ratings do apply. I think everybody is intrigued to see their own performance analysis and that sort of stuff as well. So it's filtering right through the sport. We're busy, which is a great way to be. We're growing, which is a great way to be. We're very grateful for everyone who's backed us and shown an interest. And I think the big one for us now, as our ratings start to get implemented as rules, I think the big message for us to put out there is you know, look at this objectively. Look at it as someone who's trying to govern the sport and manage this. It's none of this is personal on anybody. And it's the same with me. I've had points on my driving license sometimes, and you know, I thought it was a bit hard luck at one point, and you know, I thought, oh, why was there a speed camera there anyway? The road wasn't dangerous. There's all that sort of stuff there where you can pick holes in these things. But actually, the high level point of view is that actually this is all about just making the sport safer and looking after our horses and looking after our riders as well.
Well, Sam, thank you so much. I mean, I'm thrilled that you went to university and you studied data management, because you really are changing the industry for the positive. And I think it's going to give a lot of people a lot of confidence. I think there may be a few negative ones along the way, which you always get a few that like to have a moan and they don't like the change of the industry. But ultimately, if it makes us safer, if it's better for our horses, then I can't see why we wouldn't have it implemented in every equestrian discipline. So thank you very much. We can head to your website. What's your website if we'd like more information?
www.equiratings.com is the best place to go. And actually, the social media, we try to keep a lot of people informed on social media all the time, doing infographics with a lot of messages and interesting snippets, whether it's from a safety point of view, high performance point of view, or some of those cool facts and figures about the sport, as to who's broken the most recent record, you know, things like that. So that's just all EquiRatings on Twitter and EquiRatings on Facebook. You'll find us that way.
And thank you for talking to us at the National Equine Forum today. I wish you the very best of luck, Sam.
Thank you very much. It was an absolute pleasure to chat to you.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. You can catch all the podcasts from the National Equine Forum on their website. Just head to nationalequineforum.com and you can see them on our website, horsehour.co.uk. I hope you enjoyed the live stream and getting involved in the conversations, asking your questions to the panel and to the speakers, just by using hashtag horsehour, hashtag NEF. You'll be able to replay the videos from the forum if you just have a look at their website and their YouTube channel. Now, this event wouldn't be possible without the friends of the forum. Our corporate friends are the Blue Cross, Dodson and Horrell, the Donkey Sanctuary, Hadlow College, New Shul and SEIB Insurance Brokers. Along with individual friends, thank you so much to everybody that takes part in the National Equine Forum in organising it and making sure it's super successful every single year. We'd also like to say thank you to the forum sponsors, Beta, British Equine Veterinary Association, the British Horse Society, Bransby Horses, the Jeffries Scholarship Trust, Bedmax, HBLB, Red Wings, Weatherbees, the World Horse Welfare, the Horse Trust, BHA, which is the British Horse Racing Authority, the British Equestrian Federation, and our great supporters, Bully Davy, Craig Payne, NFU Mutual, and we're proud to be supporters of the forum too. Really looking forward to next year. Already there's a date set. It will be the 27th National Equine Forum, and it takes place Thursday, the 7th of March, 2019. I can't believe we're talking about that already. So pop that in your diary, 7th of March next year. So I hope you enjoyed this year's National Equine Forum. I'll speak to you soon.
You've been listening to Horse Hour. Join the community on Twitter, Mondays, 8 p.m. UK time, 3 p.m. Eastern, by using the hashtag horsehour, follow Amy at AmyStevenson1, and subscribe to us on Acast, iTunes, Stitcher, and Player FM.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.